We're going to be in Mark chapter 10 this morning, so if you could open your Bible, that would be great. Mark chapter 10. You know, a lot of us, there's guys coming up the aisle with Bibles, so if you need a Bible, raise your hand. They'll give you a Bible, and find Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. If you remember, David went through Mark recently. And that was a great study. I really enjoyed that. I like Mark. Mark was a young boy, like 10, 12 years old, something like that, when Jesus was alive. And so you kind of get that young boy perspective of the gospel, which I think is kind of cool. All of us have our favorite sections of scripture. And David got to this story of Bartimaeus, and he skipped right over it. And so we have that opportunity to look at it this morning. I was looking forward to hearing David teach about Bartimaeus, but the Lord obviously called him to other things in Mark. But it gives us the chance to look at it this morning. The title that I have here is Jesus Heals Blind Bartimaeus. So we're going to read Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Starting in verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for this group of believers that we can meet together and worship you, Lord. Thank you for the time of worship that we've had already. Thank you that you are here with us, Lord. We just ask that you speak to us through your word this morning. We pray that there can be specific things that we can take from this and apply in our lives, Lord, and that it will that you will make a difference in each of our hearts today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all the blessings you give to us. Be with David and his family as they are away, and just watch over and protect them. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. So the setting here is Jesus is nearing the end of his time on earth, and he has been ministering lately in the Jordan Valley area, which is kind of the West Bank today. And he's been ministering and moving around. And now he's started to make his way towards Jerusalem. So he's passing through Jericho. And as we see in Scripture, a crowd always followed Jesus. And it had been growing ever since he started his ministry. I think there were people that followed him all around Israel as he taught and preached and healed and everything that he did. So that there's this large crowd, this large entourage that is following Jesus. I think supporters and probably protesters as well. And as they pass through Jericho, I'm sure that crowd swelled as more bystanders, more people followed Jesus. They were interested in what he had to offer, interested in his teaching, interested in what he could do for them. So it's a big, chaotic scene. They're passing through the gate to leave the city of Jericho. The gate itself was a busy place. A lot of merchants coming and going. A lot of people just going in and out of the city. So this is this huge, chaotic scene with just a lot of people, loud, just a lot going on. There are two main characters in this story this morning that we want to talk about. They're Jesus and this guy named Bartimaeus. And so Jesus, we've talked about him a little bit, but again, Jesus is finishing up his ministry here on the earth. He's been here for approximately 33 years. And the last three, he has spent traveling around Israel, preaching, teaching, healing, making obviously a huge impact in people's lives. He's also been trying to train and disciple a group of men, disciple his disciples, really, a group of men to take over the church when he leaves and goes back to heaven. And that has had mixed results. If you look just in the previous verses, right above this section, starting in verse 35, these disciples, a couple of them were trying to maneuver and ask Jesus if when they get to heaven, can I have a spot right beside your throne, on your left or your right? And so this is nearing the end of this 3 years, and you would think that these guys would have started to get it by now, but Jesus has to explain to them right before this that no, if you want to be great, then you have to be a servant. If you want to be a leader, you have to serve the people that you are leading. And so he's dealing with that. He's trying to get these guys dialed in before he leaves this earth. He's also dealing with a group of religious leaders that are just really out to lunch. They have totally taken their God-given authority as leaders of the church and totally abused it and turned it into a legalistic religion instead of a relationship with the Lord. So he's having to process all that and deal with all that at the same time. Also, this is right before Jesus goes to Jerusalem, right before he enters the city on a donkey as a king, and he is having to anticipate all of that. Riding into Jerusalem as a king and then being rejected by his own people, being betrayed by the people that are closest to him, being deserted really by everybody that is following him at that point. There wasn't hardly anybody left that was following Jesus after his crucifixion, at least initially, right away. So he's having to deal with all that. He knows that's coming. He knows that he's going to have the weight of the sin of all of us, of the whole world on him, the spiritual, mental, emotional weight of that. I can't imagine he had to deal with all of that guilt, all of that junk that really we have given him to deal with. He was facing that. He was also facing the physical side of it. Aside from the emotional and mental and spiritual side of it, the physical side that Jesus faced for you and I, he was beat. He was had a crown of thorn placed upon his head. He died for you and I. So all of this stuff as well. One more thing: the separation from his father, that was just right around the corner. He knew that for a period of time, him and his father would not have the relationship that they had enjoyed for eternity, forever. They had been together. So Jesus had a full plate, a lot on his mind, a lot going on, and that's where he's at in this scene, facing the last week of his life. Bartimaeus, this I think is the only place in Scripture that I know of that Bartimaeus is mentioned. There may be somewhere else, but I didn't actually look that hard for it. But I think this is the only place. So we don't know a lot of details about his life. We don't even know important stuff like, did he have an Android or an Apple? We don't know any of that. But we do know a couple significant details about Bartimaeus that really identified him, that really tells us who he was. Two things: he was blind and he was a beggar. And that is who Bartimaeus was. That was his identity. That was his life. Living by the city gate as a beggar, holding out a cup, holding out whatever he had to get a few coins from the people that passed by. He probably had a group there that he lived with, that they did life together with, They probably didn't venture very far from the city gate. Being blind, it'd be hard to get around, hard to do things. Being physically disabled is difficult in any period of time. But today there are some technology things that do help us, help these people a little bit. And there's also some public assistance, but in this, it still doesn't make it easy, but it takes some of the edge off. Then there was none of that. He was strictly relied on somebody that would be willing to drop a few coins or a little bit of food or whatever in his cup as they passed by. So this is his identity. This is who Bartimaeus is, a blind beggar. So we have Jesus, who is God, the creator of the world, and a blind beggar. It's like one extreme to the other. And we have the privilege to look at this story and watch their interaction, watch how they meet each other, how they react to each other, how they really just interact and fellowship together. And so we want to go through this morning and pick out a few things, notice a few things about both Jesus and Bartimaeus that we can take and hopefully learn and apply something in our own lives. So let's go back to verse 47. I'm going to read that verse. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So this Bartimaeus yells out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So this tells us a few things about Bartimaeus. First, he had heard of Jesus. He knew that there was this preacher, teacher, man that was traveling around Israel who had supernatural power. He had, I'm sure, heard about Jesus healing, about him dividing the loaves and fishes. He had probably heard all of those stories, and he was interested in getting in front of this Jesus. By referring to Jesus as the Son of David, it also tells us that Bartimaeus recognized Jesus as the Messiah. He recognized Jesus. He recognized the prophecy of Jesus being from the lineage of David. And so by him saying Son of David, he's recognizing that Jesus is the deliverer. He's the Messiah of the Jewish people, and for him in particular. So the first thing that I get out of this for Bartimaeus, the first thing I put on the list is just very simply that Bartimaeus believed. He believed who Jesus was. By saying, "Have mercy on me," he also believed that he didn't deserve anything from Jesus. He understood who he was, this blind beggar. He understood Jesus was God. He understood that all I can ask for is a little bit of mercy from Jesus. I don't deserve healing. He didn't holler out, "Jesus, heal me. I'm right over here. Come over here and heal me right now." He just simply called out to Jesus, recognized him as the Messiah, and asked Jesus to have mercy on him. So he believes. That's the first one for Bartimaeus. Verse 48, "Be quiet." Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So he just repeats what he says. So there's this huge crowd. There's all this commotion. There's hundreds of people probably following Jesus, trying to get close to him. And here's this one guy yelling out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And the crowd says, "Be quiet." And basically what they're telling Bartimaeus is they're telling him, "Jesus doesn't have time for you. He doesn't have time to deal with your problems. Look at all this other stuff that he has going on. He does not have time for you, and he does not care. So just sit there. You're a blind beggar. Just sit there and be quiet." But Bartimaeus doesn't give up. It reminds me of the stereotype that we hear of a bulldog. You know, somebody that just wants to push through no matter what and just do it. I was kind of interested in that, so I looked up where that stereotype ever came from. And there used to be a sport called bull baiting. And what it was basically a fight between a bull and this bulldog. And what they would do is they would put them in an arena and they would watch them fight. And they would train these bulldogs for generations to fight bulls. That's what they did. These things were just mean dogs. And they knew, because they were obviously much smaller, they knew their only chance was to get a hold of the nose of the bull and just to hang on. And that is where the term bulldog comes from. So they would just somehow get a hold of the nose of that bull as it was coming down to try to spear them or whatever, and they would just hang on, just be persistent, resolute to just not let go, because they knew that was their only chance. If the bull was able to get him off of there, he's obviously much bigger. You could step on him, you could spear him, whatever. But he just reminds me of just a bulldog that is just resolute. I am going to get in front of Jesus, no matter what the crowd says. I think now bulldogs are just bred to drool. I don't think there's much fight left in them. Okay, so Bartimaeus believed, and he's a bulldog. He's resolute to get in front of Jesus. He persisted. Verse 49. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man. "Cheer up," they said. "Come on, he's calling you." This time, Jesus heard him. No, that's the end of the verse. This time, Jesus heard him, and he stopped and told the crowd to tell Bartimaeus to come to him. So that's the first thing I want to notice about Jesus, is that he simply stopped. In all of this commotion, all of these people, hundreds of people, everything that was on his mind, Jesus stopped, and he focused on just this one guy that's this poor beggar off in the weeds. He was able to just stop and focus only on him. It reminds me, all of us have probably been at some type of a family event or some type of a church event, and there's like 100 kids yelling and screaming and everything going on, and all of a sudden from the group of adults, you see a mom get up and run. And you're like, what? And then you see, watch her, and she'll go over, and there, sure enough, there will be little Johnny just skinned his knee or whatever. Something happened. But there, you moms are able to pick out that voice, that cry, whatever it is, and focus on that child. And that's really what Jesus does here. So two things about Jesus here that I wrote down. Jesus stopped. He took time to focus, to interact with Bartimaeus. He also called Bartimaeus. He said, "Tell Bartimaeus to come here. I want to talk to him. I want to interact with him." The crowd encouraged Bartimaeus, "Cheer up, come on, he's calling you." So I don't know if this was the same, crowd, or if this was somebody, another group, but the crowd either changed their mind or this was another group that said, "Cheer up, come on, he's calling you, Jesus is calling you." So verse 50 says, Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. It says that Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. I think that's kind of significant because I think it shows us that Bartimaeus recognized that his life was going to be different. After going and having this encounter with Jesus, he recognized, "I'm probably not going to need that dirty old coat anymore." He didn't know what Jesus was going to do, but he knew that his life was going to be different. He didn't know that Jesus would heal him, that he would be able to see. But I think it's significant that he took his coat off, that he was willing to go to Jesus, and he was like not encumbered with that big old heavy coat that had really been his comfort, his survival up until this point in his life. So very simply, Bartimaeus, he's believed. He's a bulldog. He's persistent. He answers the call. He just simply stands up, throws aside his coat, and goes to Jesus. So verse 51, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." So now Bartimaeus is standing before Jesus. He walks over to him, and he's standing there, and Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Seems like an odd question. When Jesus has the power to heal physically, and there's this blind guy standing there in front of you, it seems like, why ask that question? It's really obvious what this guy needs. Jesus could have not even called him to come. He could have, there's a guy hollering over there. One of you disciples, can you go heal him? You know, or he could just heal him from where he was at. So why does Jesus ask this question? What do you want me to do for you? I think it's because Jesus was more interested in a relationship with Bartimaeus than he was healing him. He wanted to interact with Bartimaeus. He wanted Bartimaeus to know that he loved him, that he was interested. He wanted to start to develop a friendship, a relationship with Bartimaeus. So I think it was less about the healing and more about the relationship that they could have together. Revelation 3:20 says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." So that's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for a relationship with Bartimaeus. Yes, he ends up healing him, but more than that, he wanted to meet Bartimaeus. He wanted to become friends with him, interact with him, fellowship with him, and show Bartimaeus that he was interested in his life. There's also a lesson here, I think, for our prayer life. Jesus, God, they want us to be specific in our prayer life. God cares about the details of our life, not just the general things that we pray about. I'm guilty of that, just very general prayers. And God cares, Jesus cares about the details, as ugly as they may be, in each of our lives. So the third thing that I wrote down about Jesus, he stopped, he called, and now he is interested. Interested in a relationship with Bartimaeus. Okay, and then Bartimaeus answers Jesus. He says, "My rabbi, I want to see." So that seems obvious as well. It's like, of course, he wants to see. He wants Jesus to heal his blindness. But I think it's more than that. I think there's more wrapped up in that statement than just him asking to be healed of his blindness. He refers to Jesus as his rabbi or his master. So I think in my mind, what he is telling Jesus, what he is asking Jesus, he's saying, you know, obviously, I want to see. I want my eyes to work. I want to be a productive member of society where I can work and I can do things, and I'm not just a blind beggar sitting by the side of the road. But I think by referring to Jesus as his master, he's saying, really, Lord, I want to see, but more than that, I just want to place my trust in you. I want to place my faith in you. So that's the fourth thing that I wrote down for Bartimaeus. He believed, he's a bulldog, he answered the call, and he trusted Jesus. He wanted to be healed, but more than that, he wanted to just, he used this opportunity to place his faith in Jesus Christ, to recognize Jesus as his Lord and Master. Verse 52, "And Jesus said to him, 'Go, for your faith has healed you.' Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road." So Jesus says, "Go, for your faith has healed you." So Bartimaeus is healed because of his faith. Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, you know what, you're a good guy. You've been a beggar all these years, and I kind of feel sorry for you, so I'm going to heal you." You've done a little bit more good than bad, and so I'm going to heal you just as a reward for being such a good guy and putting up with this blindness all these years. It doesn't say any of that. It just says that Jesus simply healed him because of his faith, because of his trust that he had placed in Jesus. So this just tells us one more thing about Jesus. We've learned that he stopped. He took time for Bartimaeus. He called him. He asked him to come close to him. He was interested in who Bartimaeus was and what his needs were. And now he healed Bartimaeus because of his faith. So instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. So we learn one more thing about Bartimaeus here too. It says that he followed Jesus. So Bartimaeus has believed. He's persistent. He's answered the call. He's trusted Jesus with his life. And now he's going to follow Jesus because of what Jesus has done for him. In some versions, Jesus says, go your way. Here it just says go in the NLT. So when Jesus says go, he was really giving Bartimaeus the opportunity to do whatever he wanted. His way up to this point, Bartimaeus' way, had been sitting in the gutter beside the road. And he could have said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the healing. Thank you that I can see. And go back over, put his coat back on, hunker down beside the road, and just go back to his old life again. He could have done that, but he doesn't do that at all. Instead, he decides to follow Jesus. It says he followed him down the road. So that's the fifth thing that Bartimaeus has done. Believed, he's persistent, he answered the call, he trusted, and now he is following Jesus. So I think this is a real privilege. I love all these stories in the Gospels, whether they're parables or true stories. It's just a privilege to see this amazing interaction. It's fascinating to me to see this interaction between Jesus and this Bartimaeus. But this morning, Bartimaeus isn't here. It's you and I. And so I think that this is really about Jesus and me, and Jesus and I, and Jesus and you. It's not so much about Bartimaeus. So what can we learn from this interaction that will make a difference for us? For us Christians, I think there are several lessons here that I learned from going through this, and maybe they will help you as well. But maybe, just maybe, I am a Christian. I initially answered the call to follow Jesus, but somehow over the course of years or months or whatever, decades maybe, I've settled back into this place beside the road, put the coat back on, or at least kind of threw it over my shoulder. Some of the old life that I used to think I enjoyed kind of settled down into a comfortable place. And maybe our relationship with the Lord has grown distant. We still have that relationship. We're assured of that. But we don't have that close fellowship, that close interaction like Bartimaeus enjoyed when he went and was right in front of Jesus. So I think this is an opportunity for us to rekindle that relationship with the Lord. The second one, maybe I'm blinded by some sin in my life that the crowd is helping me justify. If you want to justify sin nowadays, you don't have to look very far. Even as Christians, it's pretty easy for us to figure out, everybody's doing it, and it's just kind of way things are today. And the crowd helps us justify sin that is in our life. And maybe Jesus is calling you out of that today. Maybe he's asking you to get up, come back to Jesus, repent, and move forward and follow him with the persistence that you had at one time. Or maybe Jesus is calling you or calling me to something new and different. Maybe you've been doing the same thing for 20, 30, 10, 5, 2 years, whatever. But the Lord is saying, hey, you know what? That's not my plan for you. I have something completely different. And so maybe we need to just take and trust Jesus with that, whatever that is, instead of us trying to figure it all out and maneuver and plan and come up with these ideas. Maybe the Lord is just calling you to just trust him. Give it to the Lord. And that doesn't mean you don't be diligent and you make good decisions and all that, but you do it with the Lord's help. You do it with the help of the Holy Spirit and not your own wisdom. The fourth one I had is guilt. Maybe you're stuck beside the road, all wrapped up in that coat, and maybe that coat is for you as guilt. And I think the Lord is definitely calling you to repent if there's something needs to be repented of, but to realize that he has forgiven you and that he just wants you to get back on the road and follow him wherever he leads. So just allow the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian here today, just allow the Holy Spirit to work with you on those things and see what the Lord is calling you to do. If it's something to repent of or something new, whatever it is, God has a great road for you to be on. Don't get stuck in the gutter. And if you're not a Christian this morning, you need to have that first encounter with Jesus, like Bartimaeus did. You need to be willing to not listen to the crowd around you. They're probably telling you all sorts of things. They're telling you that Jesus doesn't have time for you. He does not have a plan for you. He doesn't care about your life. He's got so much going on that there's no way that he can take time for you. I do not understand, honestly, how it works with Jesus and time and all that when there's 7 billion people on the earth and he can focus on me or you 24/7. I don't understand all the logistics of that. The math doesn't work. But God does not work in time, and he is able to just look at you like you are the only person on the earth. I'll let you in my weird brain just for a second. It won't be very long. But what I do, what works for me, and this is probably goofy, but it's what it allows me to kind of process Jesus and my relationship with him. I pretend that nobody else is around, and I pretend that I drive to San Francisco. Nobody on the Altamont, so that in itself makes me happy. Just to drive by myself over the Altamont to the San Francisco airport. I get on a plane, and there are a couple pilots. I like pilots on a plane. But I fly to Israel, and I get off at Tel Aviv, and I rent a car and drive to Jerusalem. And for me, again, it's goofy, but I like to go to the Garden Tomb, and it's just me. Jesus is there. He has rose from the dead. Him and I can just sit there and talk. Him and I can just sit there and interact and sit on a rock there in the Garden Tomb. It's a beautiful place. I don't know if that's the place or not, where he was buried, but for me it works. And that's how I process that, but I don't understand that how Jesus can love each of us the same, how he can focus on each of us just as much as he does somebody else. For Bartimaeus, it was very real. Jesus stopped everything else and focused on him. So if you don't know the Lord this morning, this is your opportunity to come to know Jesus, to have an interaction with him. So the message to all of us, to unbelievers, to believers, the message is the same message that the crowd gave to Bartimaeus. Cheer up. He's calling you. Cheer up. Jesus is calling you back to himself. If you're a believer and you've drifted, he's calling you back, or he may be calling you to something new and exciting in his kingdom. If you're an unbeliever, He desires a relationship with you. He's interested in your life. He loves you. He cares about you. And he can heal you whatever you have going on in your life. Bartimaeus had no idea when he got up and was healed and decided that he was going to follow Jesus. He had no idea what that road was going to look like. But he was willing to get on it and take it. Think about what Bartimaeus witnessed in the next week or so, a little over a week probably. He witnessed Jesus riding into Jerusalem as a king, people worshiping him with palm branches. Then he witnessed the trials. He witnessed Jesus' own family and friends rejecting him, betraying him. And so the ride that you get on when you sign up with Jesus can be a crazy ride. There's no doubt about that. David has mentioned a couple times, and actually Ben Wheeler just mentioned it when he taught Wednesday night for the youth about Lucy in the Chronicles of Narnia asking about Aslan. And this, you know, the Mr. Beaver, is that his name? Beaver? I don't know what his name is. He's a beaver, though. I do know that. But she's asking him, well, this lion, lions are dangerous. They're scary. Is he safe? Is this lion safe? Is Aslan, who's a type of God, of Jesus, is he safe? And the beaver's answer, he said, no, he's not safe, but he's good. And that is the message this morning, that we can have confidence that Jesus is good, that his road is good, that he's got a great plan for you, that it's time to get up, follow after the Lord, just be like Bartimaeus and seek hard after the Lord. One more verse and then we're done. Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. So that's what the Lord offers for us this morning. It may not be the rest that we anticipate. It may look different than sitting on a recliner or a beach chair in Hawaii, but it's going to be good. It's going to be good rest. It may be busy. It may be crazy. It may seem out of control, but it's going to be good. So if you don't know the Lord this morning, or if you do and you want to talk to somebody, look for people with lanyards on and we can pray for you and talk to you and try to get you on that road to back to Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story of Bartimaeus and the example that he is. Lord, thank you that it just gives us a clear picture of who you are and how much you love us and how much you want to interact with us, Lord. And we just pray that we will take advantage of that, that we will just purpose to follow you closer, to come nearer to you, Lord, and to just develop our relationship with you. We love you and we thank you for being here with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.